You're listening to Tyler Jones on New FM 1017 and 1320 KLWN. Depend on it.
Bottom of the hour here on KLWN, streaming live on KLWN.com. Tyler Jones back here with you now. Thanks for spending your Wednesday morning with us here on the KLWN Morning News Watch. And it's one of my favorite segments. I think that my mother, this might be her favorite segment, period. Maybe the only reason why she listens is to hear what Dr. West has to say as he joins us every other Wednesday here on KLWN. Dr. West, as always, a pleasure to speak with you, and hope you're having a good Wednesday morning. What's happening?
Well, I am, and I want to say hi to your mom because it's good to have a raving fan in her.
Oh,
I
yes,
appreciate
yes.
that. So,
what's not to like about having Dr. West?
That's right.
Dr. West, we're pleased to not only have you here, but someone that works with you, Jordan Mayfield, is also here with us today.
Yes.
Good
Hi,
morning.
Jordan.
This Good is, to be here.
This is your radio debut, isn't it?
I had a college radio show, actually.
Did
so
you?
Not in the Kansas area, yes.
What other secrets do you have? Share them right now in the air.
Thank you.
No.
Just
My
go
daughter's
ahead and throw
listening.
Them out there.
Oh.
I did not know that when we discussed doing this. So the reason I wanted Jordan to join us today is we have our blog, which is familypsychological.com, and she had wanted to do a blog this winter about screen time, and we have discussed this on the show before, but I liked some of the things she pulled in and can talk about with us today. But there are a couple of reasons why this is relevant this time of the year, and we were just discussing them. The first is, it is the season for gift giving, and, you know, Tyler's mom is at home right now on Amazon thinking which screen can she buy for you? Should it be the game console? Should it be the newest iPhone? Should it be the iPad? Which would do you want to give her a hint?
Hint, I could use a new iPad.
Okay. And do you want the 12-inch model?
Oh, of course. Go big.
So that's about 9, right at 9 with tax. So Tyler's mom is taking copious notes. She's not alone in this regard, because a whole lot of people's moms from age 5 to 50 the kids are age 5 to 50, are having the same reaction. And so this time of the year, a lot of screens pop into people's lives for younger kids, sometimes for the first time. The second thing that happens that I'm sure Jordan will mention, as it's in her blog entry that will be up, I think, later today or tomorrow, is that kids are out of school here in a week or two. And so they'll have a couple of weeks off, and college kids even longer, as you well know, Tyler. And
after today.
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, when I was a kid back in the, you know, 70s, we would go outside and make a snowman, and we would make a snow fort, and we would throw snow, and we did all, you know, like ice skate. I did a lot of falling down. And now kids don't need to do any of that. They can get their iPad out and they can watch people build a snowman, or they can probably build a virtual snow fort. They can just sit inside and do nothing. And that is a little different, but screen time is a critical part of people's lives now.
Mm-hmm. And I agree that it's a critical part of parenting that maybe we weren't given enough information about.
Sure. And part of that has to do with just the timing that it's hard for us, even someone like me, a millennial like myself, hard for us to even keep up, because there's new stuff every single year, let alone every single day that pop up.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fairness, you know, we always talk about screen time. There's new guidelines around this. So there are guidelines that American Academy of Pediatrics and other organizations have put forth for kids, but the nature of screen time and its quality varies from item to item. So, of course, if your kid is like me and gets on the Apple News app and reads all the news of the day, probably they'll be depressed is the first thing that will happen, but they are at least informed. And, you know, my son uses his iPhone a lot, not for the actual screen, but he listens to a lot of podcasts, and some of those are pretty good podcasts. So there is a difference in the nature and quality of screen time from app to app, from kid to kid, from show to show, and so on. So in fairness, but we are counting all of that as being connected to your phone today a little bit unfairly.
Sure. Dr. Wes Crenshaw joining us here on KLWN and streaming live on KLWN.com. So when you look at screen time, you know, what are some of the basic steps to narrow that down a bit, to get the, you know, to stay away? Because it's so tough, especially in this day and age with so much stuff going on and that being the best resource to get news quickly. How do we, you know, balance out the, you know, the timing of, you know, hey, using it when it's appropriate to and not using it?
Well, I think you mentioned earlier about the screen time monitoring on the new iPhone update that we just had, which I think is a good way to just become more mindful of our screen time. I just cut the update this week, and so I've been monitoring my screen time in a way that I hadn't been able to before. So being mindful of how much we're using our screens will allow us to know where to set the boundaries.
Sure.
I think for kids, there's some pretty good guidelines that the American Academy of Pediatrics has set out based on age. And so it talks about up to 18 months really limiting any sort of screen time except for maybe FaceTime with grandparents or that sort of thing. And then on up, it gives you incremental increases in the type of programming and what might be healthy for a growing brain.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I've been interested in following this screen time thing for the last couple of weeks since it launched. But personally, I thought my numbers were skewed because I would go on road trips and use the maps, and the way that it has it set is that you're keeping it where you can see it while you're driving, your distance, and your phone's not on the lock screen. And so I'm like, well, I'm not actually using my phone per se. It's just got the, I'm trying to keep track of where I'm going, you know.
It's like you're being spied on by your phone, and it knows things. There have been some great improvements in every one of these devices.
Sure.
That parents can use to put some lids on the screen time. There are two hindrances to that are very different. The first is you have to actually sit down and do it. And I am the earliest adopter of computers that you know, I think, Tyler, or close to it. The first computer I ever used, that model is in the Smithsonian now. That is how far back. I have a picture of it in our new book coming out. And so I am that early of an adopter. I am one of the people who's 56 who really is what they call the digital native instead of a digital immigrant.
You have literally seen it all.
I have. The day I saw a computer for the first time, I will never forget it. And the day I saw the internet for the first time, at the University of Kansas behind a locked, closed door, was like no other day. So I have seen a lot of it. So I think these are important technologies, but I know how to get on there and make the changes and set up screen time. I know how to download a app called MobiSip is the one we use, that you can manage your child's access remotely and take Safari off their phone. So there are all these ways to do this, but I am pretty techie. For a lot of parents, that they're just sitting there thinking right now, oh, my eyes are glazing over, I want to close my ears. So that's the first hindrance. And if you're going to struggle with that, get a tech person. Go to the Genius Bar or go to the Geek Squad or whatever. There are several people here in town that are great at helping you hack your computer the way you want to. Get an expert, because you want to have some influence over this. Jordan can probably tell us what the second one is, because it's in her article. The second impediment for setting limits on screen time is the pain parents feel in having screaming, sobbing 13-year-olds who can't stand to be away from their technology for more than a second.
That's not easy for those parents. They're put in a tough predicament there.
Absolutely. I've had kids brought to me to be seen for kind of compulsive technology use, and really so much of the work has to do with working with the parent. So they're involved in the sessions pretty regularly, because it has to do with boundaries, and it has to do with being able to tolerate the emotional dysregulation that the kid is going to have, understandably, because they haven't had the limits before. But as a parent, that can be very challenging. It can be a lot easier just to give in the short term, although it creates some pretty long-term consequences that are negative for both the parent and the kid.
Yeah, that's interesting. One thing I want to look at, too, was that when you have these circumstances, you know, one of the things that I'm sure parents ask is, well, I don't want my kid to, you know, fall behind and on technology, want him to learn everything. I would guess, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that, you know, hey, these kids are going to pick up technology anyway. They're around it so much. Don't be afraid to take it away or tell them to put it down, because there's so much of out there. They have so much given to them. They're going to learn the stuff. Don't be too concerned about them learning that technology from them taking it away.
I would tend to agree, especially technology that's going to advance them academically or, you know, in their future careers. I mean, my daughter's doing stuff in school and she's 9, which I didn't even know how to do, programs to create documents and presentations and things like that. So they're definitely teaching them those skills. Whereas, you know, the skill to watch, like Wes said, people just doing things outdoors and that sort of thing isn't necessary.
It doesn't take a lot of work, does it?
Career development.
So there are, back again to the points we've all made about the differences in kinds of screen time. And I don't know where Jordan is at on this, but I have a couple of different views of what is valuable about screen time. And as you know, and I work with a lot of teenagers, as Jordan has been in our practice for the last year, she's seeing more teenagers, I think, than ever before in her career. She's worked with a lot of adults, so we have a little different perspective. And the place where I encourage parents to be less restrictive may surprise you, and that is the social media that they use to keep up with their friends, most notably Snapchat and Instagram, which we go into great detail in our forthcoming books about. These are actually pretty important tools for kids, and if you over limit the use of social media, then you're really cutting the kid off from the social milieu. I see that as different than just obsessively playing Candy Crush or to some degree being involved in massive multiplayer games. Now, every person who plays those games right now is saying, oh, but that's a social activity too. And it is. They often are in there with their headsets, talking to their friends, being involved in that. So that's a social activity too. But even with all those things that I think are valuable socially, there have to be limits. And the biggest limit is that 100% of everything we understand about the digital age tells us that sleep is more important than Snapchat. And all of those things need to shut down. It's more important than Call of Duty. I know it's hard to believe that, but it is. And we got to shut that stuff down about an hour before you go to bed, because your body responds to the light that the devices put out like daylight. And you are really infusing yourself with a sense of daytime at, you know, 10:50 at night, when you're supposed to be thinking about and experiencing darkness.
And that includes, that doesn't just go for phones, where that's TV, all that
everything,
stuff.
In fact, really, the quick tip right now for people who have sleep problems, it won't solve all your problems, but it'll help you a lot, is the lights. Everything needs to go out at about an hour before. Now, many people, including me, can watch television and be fine as long as it's not an exciting program. The dumbest thing I ever do is watch that stupid Game of Thrones before I go to bed. That is the dumbest idea ever. That is not a show you want to be thinking about when you go to bed. And I will stop it. I'll be in the middle. I'm like, what am I doing? And I'll stop it and watch something funny and calming. And you have to be that mindful. Jordan talked about being mindful. That's an example. And I can get away with that. Some people can't. But if you don't have as much darkness in that last hour before bed, your sleep will be disrupted.
That I can tell you firsthand, and just even last night, even one of my issues is I go down a rabbit hole where I think, you know, hey, I'll just check another message, you know, check an email or something before I go to bed, and then what do you know, I'm watching about 5 different YouTube videos after one's been recommended after another. I mean, yep. And if I'm going through that, then certainly younger kids are going through the same, you know, type of issues. Like, hey, you know, learn to put the phone away. You need as much sleep as you can get.
Absolutely. And I think that that speaks to the fact that, you know, as adults, maybe it's easier or we have more experience self-regulating, whereas sure. kids don't. And so it's our responsibility as the adults in their life to set external limits so that they can then internalize them. So although it's hard for us as adults to set those limits, imagine how much more challenging it is for kids to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's absolutely correct. And I think that there's also some very preliminary research from National Institutes of Health. That we have a link when that blog goes up here in the next day or so. We'll have the audio for this show on there, but we'll also have a link to this article in Bloomberg that cites the NIH research. And it's preliminary right now, but there is considerable evidence that kids' brains are actually being changed by the exposure to screen time. Now, to be very clear, and the article is a great article, they do a good job with it, we do not know what that means. We don't know. Maybe it makes them super intelligent, you know? We don't know. We don't know what the outcome of that is, but we are beginning to see actual physical changes in kids' brains. And they will be continuing to try to figure out what real behavioral impact that has. But anybody who doubts that this much exposure to not just the screen and the flashing image, but the content and the hyper experience, my Game of Thrones example, but taken down to the computer level, playing an exciting video game, these things are kind of changing kids' brains, and we've got to watch this and figure out what is happening.
It's fascinating stuff, and definitely stay informed. You know, Dr. West and Jordan both have some great stuff. Check it out, dr-west.com, for more information there. Dr. West, appreciate you joining us. Jordan Mayfield as well. And have another Okie in here, tag teaming on a Kansan. Like, you know, I feel like we've already won the day already, and we're just getting started.
Absolutely. She's a big Oklahoma State fan.
Hey,
go Pokes.
We're glad to have you here. Appreciate both of you guys stopping by, and Dr. West, we'll hear from you again in a couple of weeks.
Take care, sir.
Thank you.
That is Dr. West Crenshaw, Jordan Mayfield joining us here on KLWN, streaming live on KLWN.com. Quick break. When we come back, another look at your forecast and sports to wrap up the 7 o'clock hour here on KLWN. Depend on it.